From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Matthew chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It came to pass, when Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. John the Baptist is a very interesting character study, one of the most interesting in all the Bible. Here's a man that prepared 30 years for 6 months of ministry, very short time. The Bible calls him the greatest born of women. He was the one that baptized the Lord Jesus Christ, saw the Spirit of the Lord descending upon him like a dove. And during those days of his ministry, we can see that there was no doubt, not only the hand of God, the Bible says the Spirit of God was upon him from the womb. And God's plan for John the Baptist was very unique in its nature. During his ministries, he was crying out, Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We see after he boldly proclaimed the word of God, stood up to the king and was thrown in prison, suddenly he begins to doubt. And we find a man really looking at his circumstances. The circumstances will change our perspective. And although we'll say, well, I'll stand strong and I won't be offended and I won't be hurt and nothing's going to bother me, be careful, because at some point Satan will find a weak spot and poke you right there. You're someone you never expected in a situation that you never expected. And the next thing you know, you find yourself disturbed, perturbed, and angry and frustrated. John finds himself sitting there in that prison, and Satan is trying to provoke John to be offended. And so he calls for Christ, sends him a message, and look what he says. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? We see doubt creeping up in his mind, frustration with the circumstances. And several years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I preached on this text, speaking on the subject of offended with Christ, but that's not the direction we're going tonight. We're talking about offense in general, because when Christ responded, he said, Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And instead of appearing in person and responding the way John wanted him to respond, I'm sure he was thinking, it'd be nice to be released. It'd be nice to have Christ's love for me reaffirmed. It'd be nice to have my ministry extended. It'd be nice to know that my calling hasn't stopped short. It'd be nice to know that I'm not going to die prematurely. It'd be nice to know that the investment that I've made in the work of God is going to pay off at least a little bit on this earth. But all his plans stopped right here. And in Christ, he didn't receive a letter that said, give me 5 days and I'll set you free. Don't worry about your circumstances. You'll soon be loosed. He simply said something that would reaffirm his divinity. He says, verse 5, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor of the gospel preached to them. God is still working. God is still moving. That's just not what he wanted to hear. And then the last line was the one that kind of slapped him upside the face. John, blessed is that man that doesn't get offended. Let me reiterate that. There's way too much offense going on among Christians in this day and age. And here's what we've been taught by our culture, to be overly sensitive. This political correctness has created a generation that's offended when there's nothing to even be offended about. But beside the fact that we're not supposed to be offended, you should be offense-proof. You should have some tough hide. You should love this book, love God enough, and obey it enough, respect the command enough to say, I refuse to be offended. There's not a brother in here that's going to offend me. My boss is not going to offend me. I'm not going to have a message offend me. A visiting preacher in his style is not going to offend me. And we truly have a generation that finds 50 reasons in the average course, the average day, to be upset and offended about something. It's what others say to us. It's the tone, the words they used. I didn't like the response. I didn't care for their reaction. They didn't have to speak to me that way. They should have never talked to me like that. Sometimes it's the things that they don't say. They didn't even say thank you. No compliment, no recognition. I paid for that. I sacrificed. Not even a text, no email. Maybe it's what they did to us. Or maybe it's what they didn't do for us. I thought at least they'd come over. They knew I was sick. They didn't check on me. I can't believe they never called. I bet they didn't even pray for me. And we literally, it's like we live looking for a reason to be offended. The Bible does tell us in James chapter 3 that we all have that gift because we all have a tongue. And the Bible says if you have a tongue that's never offended, you're a perfect man. Regrettably, we all know. And if we thought we'd get through life without offending anyone, we got married and that all changed. The root problem of all offense is pride. Now I want you to think about this for a minute. Look what it says in verse 11 of chapter 8. Here's what Jesus Christ said even when he doubted, even when he asked if Christ was really the Messiah. Verily I say unto you, Christ speaking of John, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Here's why we get offended. I don't think I should be treated like that. I didn't deserve that. I deserve better. I think God owes me something. I think you owe me more respect than what you're showing. And the root of all offense. So if you are easily offended, you're a very proud person. If you're offended at all, you can go back and trace the root to that fruit, and it's pride. Look with me in Proverbs 13:10, a verse you shouldn't have to look up, but I'm going to give you the time to underline it tonight in your Bibles. Just as a simple reminder, the root problem of all offense is pride. Proverbs 13:10. Only, circle the word only. Only by pride cometh contention. I would mark that, highlight it, circle it, and memorize it, because if you are offended, you've entered into contention, that is because you are proud and hurt. Look what it says in Mark chapter 4. Christ in his teachings in Mark 4 tells us about the seed and the sower, and he says the offended are shallow Christians. Those are his words. Mark 4:16. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. Talking about the seed, we won't read the whole parable. Most of you already know it. Who, when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. Praise the Lord. We found a good church. Praise the Lord. We're saved. Praise the Lord. We got baptized. Let's do some discipleship. Let's grow. But they have no root in themselves. They're shallow. So they endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are, I can't hear you, they are offended. That's a shallow Christian that says, I can't believe the persecution my family has given me. I can't believe the way people look at me. Christians, at some point in your Christian life, you've got to grow way beyond offense. And understand, everybody's going to have a bad day. You shouldn't add to someone's bad day by being offended with their bad day. Aren't you glad that you have a bad day and people all don't get offended? And cut off that friendship and end that relationship because you had a bad day? Can you imagine if your tone always had to be perfect, your countenance radiant, your tongue golden, your love obvious? Jesus and the Holy Spirit seeping out of every pore of your body. You're so full of the Spirit, and people just know, here comes a man full of the love of God. No, you know what you get. Hey, can you get that door for me, bozo? He could have said in that tone, but why did he have to say bozo? Well, it doesn't matter if it's your wife, doesn't matter if it's your child, doesn't matter if it's a co-worker, doesn't matter if it's another student in that class, it doesn't matter if someone running in the door or out the door, what direction they're going, their age or stage of life, everyone around you at some point during the day is going to give you an excuse, a legitimate excuse to be upset. Because they're dealing with human nature just like you. So at some point in your life, you got to become a big enough Christian to say, I simply refuse. Why go through that misery every day? Why go through that frustration? Why go through that frustration in a church setting or a marital setting or in a work setting when you know life can be much more pleasant if I get thick enough skin to say, no one is going to upset me today. I refuse to be offended. You're going to have to take a few humble pills. Think less of yourself. The Bible does say, humble yourselves. It's an exercise. It's like eating broccoli is not pleasant, but it needs to be done. Humble yourselves. Number two, turn with me to Matthew 26. If you're going to get beyond offense, you're going to have to learn to trust God. Really, this boils down to a matter of trust. And you say, I know God has a plan in this. God has that person in my life. God's trying to teach me a little bit of humility. God wants me to shut my mouth. God knows what he's doing. Matthew 26, verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, good Christians, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, speaking to his disciples, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written out, smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I am not offendable. I've grown way past offense. And Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said to him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. And then we know exactly what happened. They all fled for the exact same reason. They got offended with Christ. And what happened? It was an injustice. One of the biggest injustice in the history of the world. They watched it unfold, and all of them were offended. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 16. You know the story of David, a man that overcame many injustices because he refused to be offended. This is about trusting God with that person who's offending you. 2 Samuel 16, look what it says, verse 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, you know the story, Shimei comes out, curses David, throws rocks at him. He's the king. You know what the king has the power to do, cut off people's heads. He said, let me go over, I pray thee. He's praying to have the opportunity to cut someone's head off. And verse 10, the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse because, what's the Bible say? Because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Do you see the principle? He said, I trust God with this. I'm not going to be offended because God has a purpose in this. And if that man cursed me, it may be because I need humbling and I need curse. So leave him alone and let God do his perfect work in my life. Amen. Folks, we have so much pride that it doesn't matter how small the occasion or how unreasonable the offense to deal with in your life, something that hits your button on a daily basis, and you have 3 or 4 or 6, 8, 10 excuses per day to be offended with someone. Tell me God's in any of that. You're a proud man that cannot trust God. Can't trust God with your family. Can't trust God with your wife. Can't trust God with the authority. They're teenagers. Teenagers. What? We're creating monsters. Teenagers, 13, 14, 15, offended with every authority that God's put in their life. Offended with mom, offended with dad. If they have 4 different teachers in high school, they're offended with every one of them. Offended with the PE teacher, offended with the youth pastor, offended with the pastor, offended with each one of their friends. You know why you have kids, daughters, that change friends like our nursery workers change diapers? There's a problem. Oh, you're my best friend. BFF, best friend forever. That means forever until you offend me. You got to say, well, he's offensive. No, we're all offensive because we all have a tongue. And it's not always controlled. And we have a tone and it's not always controlled. And we have difference in thought pattern. We have difference in reaction. We have a human nature. And that combination means that things are going to come out. They shouldn't come out in ways they shouldn't come out. And you ought to be a big enough person to say, I will not be offended. This is one of the best lessons you can teach your teenagers. Stop being offended. Did you know that there's no greater responsibility in the life of a pastor than dealing with people that are offended? You know the only way to truly be a leader? Be one of the unoffendable. I thank God for those at Capital City Baptist Church in the 6.5 years that I've been pastoring here, never gotten offended. Just never gotten offended. At least not as far as I know. If they got offended, it lasted so long, they got it under control, confessed it. How many unnecessary conversations have taken place over unnecessary offenses? You got to get a hold of kids when they're young and say, you don't need to be offended by that. You trust God with that. God allowed that to happen. That means you can deal with it, humble yourself, and move forward in life. Number 3, look what it says. Go back to Matthew 11 and then put your finger in John 6 for just a minute. This is really the best way to experience victory over offense. So John asked the question, art thou he that should come? Jesus sends his word back. Now think about this. John's in prison. This is the word he receives straight from the lips of Christ. This is the message. This is it. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor of the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That's it. That's the entirety of the answer the Lord Jesus Christ gives to John before his death, before his beheading at the hands of a wicked man and a wicked woman. And his head comes out on a platter. John, they're going to take your life for preaching the truth, but don't be offended. Now, John might have had a reason, but none of you have ever been beheaded. None of you have been falsely imprisoned. But he said, I will not, I refuse. There has to be a love for the word of God. You know, Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law. Now, if you're easily offended, you're putting yourself in a very bad category because you can't trust God. You're showing yourself to be very proud because only by pride cometh contention. And then God says, great peace have they which love thy law. When people are in this book, diligently in this book and loving this book, they're not offended. You get offended, let me ask you a question. Tell me about your Bible reading this month. Tell me about the book of the Bible that you read today. I didn't read a book. Tell me about the chapters. I didn't read chapters. I know you didn't. That's why you're offended. Because when you have love for God's word, look with us in John chapter 6. John 6, 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, his teachings, he said to them, "Doth this offend you?" Look what it says, verse 66. Yes, it offended some people, because from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Obviously, they got offended because they abandoned the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why people leave church? Offense. You know the main reason they're offended? They're offended with the word of God. Oh, Christians say, "Not me, preacher. I like hard preaching." As long as it's not on the four or five problems that you have with the word of God. Because everyone in here has a problem or two with the word of God. And a preacher can find it. And if this preacher doesn't find it, a visiting preacher will find it. And suddenly, you're upset because in this day and age, you preach on modesty and people get upset. You go to the average church, you don't worry about building a new building program. You don't have to worry about a parking lot. You don't have to worry about a Sunday school space or bathroom space. You just go in for a month to preach on modesty. You'll clear that place out quicker than a light will clear out cockroaches on a kitchen floor about midnight. You won't even have to bring in an engineer. You've solved all your space problems. You just tell young ladies, you ought to dress in a way that's pleasing to God, and they're looking for another church. You preach on the home, you preach on marriage, and you watch people get upset. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And when you love this book, Peter looked at Christ. Look what he said. When Christ asked them, "Will ye also go away?" Verse 67, verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." When you read this book and you pray through this book and you love this book and you come to church looking to hear from God through his word, you'll realize you can go a long time without being offended. You won't be offended by your husband, won't be offended by your wife, won't be offended by stupidity, won't be offended by a comment, won't be offended when someone takes your parking spot of your car or your carcass, doesn't matter. They can take your spot. Doesn't matter the comment, doesn't matter the countenance, doesn't matter, because you're just not offended. I love God. I love people. You can have a bad day. You can have two bad days. You can have a bad month. You're not going to offend me. Now, this isn't an excuse card for you to go out and offend people just to test their Christianity. The Bible has something to say about the person that offends. Christ said they're better off with a rock around their neck sitting at the bottom of the ocean. So you don't have a free pass on offending people and said, "I'm just going to do a test today and see if you're easily offended." Amen. Isn't Capital City way beyond the pettiness of offenses and "I'm hurt by this person, I'm hurt with this, and I can't believe this happening"? That's high school behavior. That's what I'm dealing with in the college. I got to sit down in the college occasionally, not among the guys, but among the girls. Just petty behavior. Don't tell me you're on the level of an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, frustrated by stupidity. Tell me your Christianity has risen above that. You say, "No, I'm not going to participate in offense." That's what people are doing. Their whole life is about a blog because they're living and loving offense. Hurt and helping others get hurt and participating in hurt. You say, what's going to solve that problem? Get in love with this book. You get in love with this book, you'll get tired of blogs. You get in love with this book, you'll get tired of Facebook. It'll change. This literally is something that'll change. I know every ad talks about something that'll change your life. This will change your life. Why? Christian, why are you telling me you've been saved for 10 years? And this person has hurt you and that person's offended you. And I can't believe they did that. I want to know how I can get victory over offense. Love this book. Can you figure out? You're not getting offended with anyone. There's Jesus Christ, and he's beaten, and he's hanging from a cross, and he's got nails in his feet and his hands, and he's about ready to die, the innocent for the guilty. No offense. Not an ounce of offense in him. You'll be surprised what will happen When you fall in love with God's word, great peace have they which love thy law. You know the only ones that didn't get offended with this? Those that loved the teachings and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest got offended. And here's what you're going to see. You stick around long enough, you're going to see this space empty out, that space empty out, and someone else fill that spot. You say, what happened? The same thing that happened to the last person that left that space. They got offended. You know what, this church, we don't preach opinions. We don't preach politics. So that means you only have one thing to be offended with, the word of God. Look what it says in Luke 17. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. So you ought to expect offenses, but God says, woe unto him who causes the offense. Church members, you should be grown enough not to be causing offense. Oh, I've caused offense. Sometimes it's through preaching. Sometimes it's through bluntness. Sometimes it's through stupidity. Sometimes it's through playfulness. Sometimes it's through lack of communication. Sometimes it's through busyness. There's a million ways to cause offense. But when you're trying to cause offense, here's what the Bible says, woe unto you. Verse 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And let me just say, worse is the offense when it's a child. Be careful. Oh, I believe in doing things properly. I believe in instruction and correction. But I don't believe in out-of-control adults that cause unnecessary offense to a child. Woe to that person. Verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and he seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. You know how to avoid the offense? Forgive so quickly the offense has no time to set in your soul. It's already forgiven. I've already predetermined in my mind there's no way I can live my life. I don't have the emotional or the spiritual or the physical strength because that's so draining. There's no way I can spend time in my day. I'm not talking about bitterness. Bitterness is a different level. That's another step. That's taking all that offense and let it seep into your soul and boil out. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about spending 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour of your day frustrated with a person or frustrated with a situation. Boy, if you have that much time to spare, you need to get an extra job and tithe to the church because we could use the money. You got too much free time in your hands. I mean, if you got kids and you iron clothes, you wash dishes, you prepare meals, how in the world do you have time in your calendar to get offended? I mean, if you're over 40, how do you have the physical strength to deal with that? How many of you realize at 45, emotionally, things take more of a toll than they used to at 25? Anybody in here realize that? So why would you, if you're older than 45, now if you're under 20, you have the strength to be offended. If you're over 45, man, you don't want any additional emotional burden, right? So you know the way around that? Get some thick skin, fall in love with God's word, humble yourself, and say, I'm going to forgive so quickly. Here's the benefit of forgiveness. When you just get in the habit of forgiving at the moment, it happens. And occasionally I let myself get angry for about 6 seconds at a time. What? You can enlarge that to 10 to 12 seconds. You know, if you want to max out at 15 seconds, it's not righteous anger. It's still not a good thing to do. But you got to recover. You got to recover quickly and say, you're not going to offend me. And 9 times out of 10, you know this as well as I do, 9 times out of 10, you offend someone and you didn't even know you did it. They talk about the tone and you're trying to figure out what tone you said that in. They're talking about the words or the phrase you said and you're going back analyzing your whole conversation the past 3 days. You still can't remember. Yep. You got to get above that stuff. That's second grade Christianity. Yes, sir. We ought to be so far past that. We've braced ourselves for the things that Satan can truly use to attack a church and say, disunity in offense is not one of those things.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.